I can only assume that Jesus is also smiling up in heaven over events like that. Janet, where are you? Come on up, Janet. Janet's going to do the same exact thing you just saw, just different age demographic.
I just wanted to say thank you. I had two absolutely fantastic surprises yesterday at my 80th birthday. One, my son came in from Colorado, and I hadn't seen him in a year and a half. And two, your generous gift. I was just overwhelmed. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Janet. Janet is the youngest 80-year-old that I know. There is not even a close second place. I hope to be half as on top of things as she is when I'm 42. So, just a few announcements. Very quickly, no Bible study this week, so don't come because we won't be here. We'll resume in the new year. Other than that, everything is normal as it would be. So we are going to dive in to the Christmas sermon. The kids are with us, so you're going to hear lots of kid stuff. I don't mind it at all. I hope nobody else does, because kids tell me that there is life happening. And you never know what these kids remember 20 years from now from times like this. Anybody remember sermons that you didn't know that you remembered? Well, if you grew up in church, that happens a lot. If you've got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. Again, I want to welcome all of our visitors. It is really nice to have all the family that is coming and all the friends, and we are happy to have you. So what I want to do this morning is I want to warn you in advance that normally on a Christmas morning, you're supposed to do the Christmas story, which we are, and it's supposed to be light and airy. It's supposed to be similar to the Hallmark Channel, which is currently running the same exact movie over and over and over again. Even though they've got different characters, it's all the same movie. Somebody from the big city is going to fall in love with somebody on a farm, right? And then they're not going to know that they're meant for each other, but then they're going to figure out that they are just in time for Christmas. It is a formula that clearly works, and everybody likes it. So church is supposed to have that formula in the hearts and minds of many, especially on Christmas, supposed to have a Hallmark sermon. My sermon is a little heavier than I normally would be, but I hope that you view it heavy like gold and not heavy like concrete. So that is my intention. What I want to say right off the bat is, everybody turn to Luke chapter 1, right? I already said that. So Luke chapter 1. We live in a culture that from a Christian worldview perspective has gotten darker. I'm not going to preach doom and gloom to you, because the news is doing a good job all by itself of preaching the doom and gloom of our time. If you turn on the television this afternoon, you're going to see some stuff that's unpleasant. But not only that, the cultural attitude has gotten darker. So with the cultural attitude that kind of views life through the idea that this is the way that it is, and this is who I am, and it's dark. I want to have that as the backdrop as we look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 14. This is the angel talking to Zechariah. We talked about this last week. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That is about John the Baptist. And he became, according to Jesus, the greatest prophet that ever lived was John the Baptist, because his specific mission was to proclaim the Lord and make straight paths for his coming. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet, according to Jesus. And the angel says that the parents and others will have joy and gladness because his job description is to make the way straight for Jesus. Okay? So I want you to hear the words joy and gladness. I want you now to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Again, we looked at this last week as well. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. She's the one pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth knew instantaneously, not because she knew it in her brain, but when you are filled with the Holy Spirit because Mary has shown up at your house, her cousin, but she has Jesus in the womb, the baby John leaps. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's something in here about joyfulness at the encounter between John the Baptist and Jesus before they were even outside of the womb. I want you to now go to Matthew chapter 2, but keep your finger in Luke because we're going to go back there. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 10. This is a sneak peek into the wise men. They've already spoken to Herod, and they've already discovered, or they're looking for the Messiah because they know he must be there because they saw the star. We spent a sermon talking about these were probably Jewish wise men living in Babylon, probably, because they were interested in the Messiah. Verse 10 says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." So the wise men are at the news that the Messiah is over here, and they know that it's a baby, they too are filled with exceeding joy, and they rejoiced. And the word rejoice just means to joy. Now, we don't talk that way in English. In Greek, it makes more sense. It just to joy, to rejoice, to be really happy over what happened. How many of you are Marshall fans? Raise your hand. How many of you rejoiced when they won the bowl game just recently? You were happy. You were excited. There was a thrill of yes. That is the way that joy works. And when there is something really, really, really valuable to you, you really rejoice. And that is what this is saying. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So John the Baptist is going to bring joy because he's going to tell about Jesus. Jesus encounters John the Baptist, his cousin, in the womb. That meeting is filled with great joy. Here the wise men, finding out where the baby is, knowing that it's the Messiah, are overflowing with exceeding joy. One more place. I want you to go back to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 8. We're going to read about the shepherds. This is the part Linus reads in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. I like how they snuck in scripture into the Christmas special, because you kind of have to sneak it in. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Shepherds, nighttime, all of a sudden angels show up. What would you do? You've never seen an LED light bulb. This is the first century, but now there are angels with incredibly bright, luminous. They light up the whole area where they're at, and you would be also filled with fear. You would have no clue why this was happening. And that is exactly what they experienced. If you just stop and think, God picked shepherds, not kings, shepherds to tell this to. Jesus is not interested in our titles. God is not interested in our degrees. He's not interested in our accomplishments. He's interested in you, for who you are intrinsically valuable because you bear the image of God, which means that everybody else is intrinsically valuable because they bear the image of God, not because of what they've done. This applies to murderers and drug addicts and lawyers. Okay, I didn't mean to put them into that same category that way. Let me say it another way. It applies to murderers and drug addicts and plumbers. Or murderers and drug addicts and preachers. It applies to all of us. The value of who we are is not who we are. It's who we represent. And we are image bearers of God. Our value is then not in us. Our value is actually in God. And God values us as image bearers, and shepherds are perfect for displaying who he is and who he wanted to tell first. You should never envy another image bearer because we're all on the same playing field. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The thing I want us to see, and the thing I want you to take home for Christmas, is all the talk of joy. The wise men, exceeding joy. Elizabeth, joy, gladness, exclamations filled with the Holy Spirit. The prophecy about John the Baptist, he's going to make a lot of people filled with joy. And the angels, if anybody's got the message that we want to listen to, "I bring you good news," also known as gospel, "of great joy that will be for all the people." The news brings joy, and it's for all the people, which I'm going to assume means everybody I'm looking at right now. And I'm going to assume it means everybody you work with and everybody you are related to. I'm assuming it means your neighbors. I'm assuming it also means people that you've never met that live in other countries with different customs and different languages. This is joy for the planet. And the joy is on the news of the coming of Christ. Let me define what joy is. It means cheerful and calm delight. Delight is not a word that we use a lot because it sounds like it belongs to chocolate and food. It doesn't seem like we use the word delight or pleasure when we talk about God, but we should, because there is no higher joy or satisfaction or pleasure even than in God. we do not believe this. We don't. We believe, by the way that we live, that other things are more valuable, careers and families and everything else. But I am telling you that the message of the angels, that of the great joy for all the people, is that if people find in Christ their greatest joy and pleasure, your life will never be the same. If you could see it, and my prayer is that we do, that Jesus is the source himself of the joy. Christmas joy is the divine proclamation that goes out in the darkness that salvation has come. Prison doors are still shut tight and you may be behind the door, but the deliverer is coming with the keys in his hands. And the angel has just told us that's the source of joy. I mentioned darkness at the beginning. John 1:1 says that in him was life, and the light was the light of men, and his light shone into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. The darkness could not comprehend it, some translations say. The darkness could not deal with it, is a good way for you to think about it. Darkness can't stand in the presence of the light of who Jesus is. This angel's message of great joy is meant not, it's not meant as some shallow happiness. And many Christians are chasing fool's gold when they chase after a shallow happiness. You are never going to get that in Christ. But what you are going to get in Him is a deep, abiding joy that is life-sustaining. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you have Facebook? So everybody's going to relate to what I'm going to say. On Facebook, there's much wisdom. Lord, help me preach this part of the sermon. On Facebook, there is much wisdom about what life is really all about. To be honest, Facebook may be the most depressing instrument in the history of humankind. I'm not sure. We collect all of our thoughts and you walk away feeling like, are we all this dumb collectively? But anyway, frequently what I find, not just on Facebook, but with people and dealing with people that are suffering and struggling. Let me be the first to raise my hand, and you can join me if you want, that I struggle and I suffer. I struggle with depression. I struggle with anxiety. I fight with self-image. I struggle all the time. So I'm just going to raise my hand on Christmas Eve and tell you that I struggle. I fight. I have to pray. Sometimes it feels like God's 1,000 miles away. Sometimes I wonder if I'm still a Christian, and then I get up behind the pulpit and preach to people. Just letting you know that it's normal, if you're going to follow Jesus, to have those feelings. But here is a danger zone for us. The danger is that we begin defining ourselves by our depression. We begin defining ourselves by our anxiety. We begin defining ourselves by our struggle, whatever it is. And the words that come out of our mouth most frequently are, this is who I am, this is the cross I have to bear, I'm just this way. And I'm not going to disagree with you to a certain extent. I believe that I will always fight anxiety. Always. However, I do not define myself as an anxious person. And I don't think any of us should. I don't think we should embrace the idea that the struggle makes us deep, even though it does. The Bible indicates that suffering is guaranteed if you want to follow Jesus. Yay, Merry Christmas. If you want to follow Jesus, Jesus said, you will suffer persecution. They will hate you because they hated me. Again, Merry Christmas. But it is a temptation when we don't experience the joy of God and we're lost kind of at sea, wondering when something's going to happen, and nothing ever seems to happen to make things better. So it's natural for us to identify with something so we can try to turn this bad stuff into something good. And the way that we frequently do that is we say, I'm a person that struggles with this thing, and this is who I am. And then we embrace the depression, we embrace the anxiety, and say, this is who I am. I want you to hear, I'm not denying depression or anxiety. What I want to encourage you to do is not to view joy as some shallow Christian thing, but to view it as something deeper than any pain that you have. When this angel says, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people, he is speaking to the fact that there is in Christ a joy that lasts for eternity. Not shallow, deep. I mean way deep. If anybody likes the Chronicles of Narnia, this is what Aslan referred to as the deep and old magic. It is the joy of knowing that you know the Savior. That is the joy. Let me finish with this image. We're celebrating Christmas. Here, I hope, is something heavy like gold and not heavy like concrete. I was praying, and I had this image of this dirt. And the dirt was our suffering. The dirt was our struggle. And a lot of people were looking to the dirt to make sense out of the struggle and defining themselves by the dirt. What I really feel like God showed me out of just this simple discussion on joy is that the joy of Christ isn't some surface level thing on the top of the dirt, like sprinkling glitter on top of the dirt and trying to pretend that it's pretty. But that the joy that God brings is like a seed that goes way down deep into the dirt of your suffering. It goes way down deep underneath of it because it's deeper and stronger and more powerful than the dirt that surrounds it. And it's a seed that is planted and goes deep and sends down roots that are deep and are eternal. And out from that dirt of your suffering shoots up a flower that explodes in a bloom of joy. That is not shallow. That is a deep and abiding presence of God in your life, that out of the suffering that we all experience, there is this incredible bloom of joy that the world needs to see. The dirt doesn't disappear. We don't deny the dirt or the suffering or the struggle. That's what makes the beauty of the flower that blooms of joy so beautiful, is that it's coming up through that suffering. God is glorified when His people believe this angel that the message is great joy. Joni Erickson Tada, does anybody know who she is? She's been a paraplegic now for 40 years. She was an athlete. She dove into a swimming pool like you're not supposed to in the shallow end, hit her head, severed her spine, can't walk, confined to a wheelchair for 40 years. The woman radiates the joy of Christ. And the reason is not because she looks at the dirt of her suffering in that wheelchair, which would be horrible. To go from athlete to paraplegic, that would be awful. And yet, the deep abiding joy that comes from knowing Christ is what you see, the flowers that have bloomed, the fruit that is there. I want to encourage you, no matter, this holiday season is depressing for a lot of people. Turn to Jesus. And even though you may be full of dirt, of suffering all around, turn to Christ. Let that seed of His joy be nourished as you feed on His promises, as you worship Him when you feel nothing, as you pray to Him and you think you're praying up against a brick wall. Don't give up. Continue. Let that flower come pushing through the dirt of your life and let people see the joy of Christ is not shallow. Smile real big on Sunday morning because you're wearing a suit. I'm a Christian. I don't like it either. Those are plastic flowers. Everybody can tell the difference. But real blooming flowers of joy that come out of Christ through the dirt of your suffering, that's what the world needs. That's what you need. So Merry Christmas to everybody. I love every one of you, even those I don't really recognize and know. I want to have all of you stand up with me if you would. We're going to be dismissed. It's my Christmas gift to let you out 15 minutes early. You can reciprocate by giving me cards filled with cash. Just kidding. I know a lot of us have a lot of plans and a lot of things we're going to go do, but none of those things eclipse who Jesus is. I want you to bow your head with me as we pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your joy. You said that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You said that we are always sorrowful, yet rejoicing. You said these things because simultaneous with our suffering is Your joy in the middle of it. God, I pray that You would begin taking all of the dirt of our suffering, all of the hurt, all of the pain, everything that all of us uniquely experience. And God, that You would begin blooming flowers of joy that run deep into Your presence. I pray, God, that we would be people that show the world not how perfect we are, but that in the midst of our own suffering, we are holding on to a rock, a Savior. Lord, we give You glory and honor. I pray that every family is blessed. I pray that everybody's travel is safe. I pray, Lord, that You would watch over all of us in this week as we get into the new year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be dismissed. You can tell somebody you love them. You can tell somebody good morning. We will see you next week.